your host, Jay Mont G.
And we're back at the Seaplane Base on the fly, Jay Mont G. It is a beautiful Saturday afternoon out here at the Seaplane Base. If you're listening on EA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 FM, or on the web worldwide at airventure.org, it is actually Sunday, and it's about 12 noon. I'm sitting here with Shane Albers, and Shane is a co-chairman. He's a co-chairman in the Harbor Master area of the Seaplane Base, and we get to talk to Shane every year, and it's always a good discussion. Shane, as we do every year, let's talk about the operation from the Harbor Master's perspective as it relates to getting airplanes safely on the water and into a mooring.
All right. Well, start off by I work behind the scenes mostly. I kind of do the managing from the back, and then that way everything gets done properly, correctly, and efficiently. What happens is we have the aircraft. They call into our point controller, and he will keep contact with them. They call in up to 30 miles away to find out where we are.
Farther than a tower, even.
Exactly. Yeah. To give us a little heads up. So then they come in, they land, as safely as possible, and we then the dock talks to the point where we then give them a assignment as to where they need to go. Once they're on the dock, we have dock workers that will tie them up, unload their luggage, and take all the information down and take them over to the office where they're going to set up their camping and whatever other arrangements they need to make. From the dock, we have what we call our towboat drivers. These boats are about 12 feet long, aluminum craft, and we hook up to them with PVC pipes with ropes going through them. We call them booms. Hook them to the cleats, and then the boat and the plane then become one union, and we can take that plane and control it and put it anywhere we need to.
So once you get them in here, then you put them out on a buoy, and now what happens? Now here we've got a pilot full of luggage and all his gear, and he's way out there in the lily pads.
We get his luggage unloaded at the docks, and then we have our luggage carriers that will help them transport their luggage out to the campground so that they don't have to move 3-4 full carts of luggage back there by themselves.
So you let them pull into a dock. You pull them into the dock.
They taxi into the dock.
So they'll taxi into the dock, and then you'll unload them, and then that's the point where you'll haul, and they don't even have to go, right? You guys can haul the plane right out there and buoy it off.
That's exactly it. Yep, we spin them at the dock, which is actually a really neat operation to see. It takes just one person, push it away, and spin it all the way around. It's hard to describe how it happens, but sometimes somebody's going to have to come out down to the Seaplane Base and just, spend an afternoon here and see our operation. It really is kind of neat. It's a different atmosphere than the main field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What about when they're ready to leave?
Okay, well, ready to leave, it's just reverse of that. They come up to, they have to go to the office, and they have to check out. And from the office, they give us a blue card, and that blue card then goes to our boat driver, who goes out in the mooring field and looks through 100 airplanes to go and find that airplane, and then we pull it to a dock. Now, sometimes they need fuel, so we have 3 fuel docks, so that's a specific question that needs to get answered, because it's kind of a bummer to have to move an airplane for 2 times. So again, luggage carriers go back to the campgrounds, help them transport all their luggage up. Dock workers assist them to load their luggage. They're checking out their aircraft, fueling up, checking with point, checking weather, making their flight plan, and then they're out of here.
Okay, and then someone spins them around once again, and they taxi out. Do they get a clearance to go out through the gap?
Or? Yes. It is mandatory to get a startup permission and then permission to go through the cut.
So they go through the cut, and then you basically cut them loose. Now they're in open water, and they're on their own.
They are on their own at that point. Our point controller assists them in, giving them local traffic, any wave report that we might have. Because over on the point, they can see from the west to the east of Willow Bay, they can see everything out there for a couple miles. So they can see boats, they can see airplanes, traffic in the air, and so they're kind of the central operation of the Oshkosh Seaplane Base.
And is there a specific traffic pattern that's published in the NOTAM for them to fly?
No, there isn't. But for a perfect example, yesterday we were pretty swamped. We had everybody wanting to go flying, and it was crazy busy. So we do not have a specific pattern. But on a busy day, we'll do, depending on what the wind is doing, we'll do like a north pattern or a south pattern and just kind of keep everything flowing in one very nice circle.
Now, unlike for land planes, seaplane pilots, they choose their own runway. And we're going to be talking to Don Smith, one of your pilots here very shortly, who has a Husky here on amphibious floats. We're going to talk to him about the mechanics of that, how you pick a place to land and things like that. But you as a harbor master, you're pretty much watching the pattern. You see someone coming in, you know they're arriving, and you start planning for them. You get on the radio and you call the other volunteers and say that they've got one coming in. Is that pretty much?
Yep, that's exactly it. We have people, volunteers, scheduled every day for specific spots on a certain dock, having specific jobs. Most of our people can float anywhere, so they're pretty universal here at the sea base, and that's very important. That needs to be like that. The point talks to us, and we talk to the point and talks to the aircraft, and that's how we get them in here safely and moored up and unloaded, and welcome to Oshkosh Seaplane Base.
Well, Shane, once again, thanks for talking to our listeners. We look forward to coming out here to the Seaplane Base and seeing you folks every year on Saturday, and which will air on Sunday this year. But it's always a pleasure, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Of course, no problem.
And we're going to segue now to a pilot who actually operates in the operation, Mr. Don Smith. Don, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Welcome. And where do you come from?
Ionia, Michigan, near Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, so your flight time down here in the Husky would be?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
It's always fun flying over Lake Michigan, kind of makes your hearing much better than normal.
Yeah, well, you have floats, so you really don't have to see. Now, I fly my airplane over Lake Michigan. I go around. I don't fly over Lake Michigan.
When you're flying in IMC, you know, you can hear everything. When you can't see the water and how far down it is, it makes you a little nervous. But
here you are. It's been a fairly good week. You know, it's been typical Oshkosh weather, pretty much. What we want to talk to you about, Don, is more specifics as a pilot coming to the Oshkosh Seaplane Base.
Yeah.
It's a seaplane base for a very short time out of the year. It's a great venue compared to the other options at AirVenture. It's almost like a different world over here. And a seaplane pilot, now you're on amphibs, even for the straight float guys, it's even more planning intensive because they don't have as many options for landing en route. People come from the West Coast, for example, to the seaplane base, and they're coming on straight floats. They have a lot of planning to do, where they're going to stop for fuel, what they're going to do. When you're preparing to come to Oshkosh for the first time with a seaplane, is there information for pilots on the web or somewhere where they can plan to arrive here at the Oshkosh Seaplane Base?
The Seaplane Base has its own section, you know, web page, basically, and you can get a lot of the procedures for coming in. They talk about procedures when the wind's really heavy. Lake Winnebago's a pretty large lake. When they get heavy winds from the north or from the east, you can get quite a bit of waves out in our bay out here, just outside the lagoon.
And I know it's what a lot of guys worry about.
Yes.
Because you never know what it's going to be like when you get here from a journey.
And just south here, we've got Warbird Island, and they have a half dozen buoys out there. And it's not uncommon. I haven't seen it, but you can land out there in the lee of that island. And then you just call in, let them know that you've landed, and they'll send a towboat out either to tow you in or else bring you to shore and then bring you to the base in a car. And then they'll bring a plane in the next day or something like that.
I see, when the conditions are more
appropriate.
When the
conditions favor coming into the bay, yeah.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about the journey in. You left Michigan, you came across. Of course, you've been here before, so you know what to expect. If somebody is new and they want to bring their airplane here, what would you say to them as a listener who is a seaplane pilot?
It is so much simpler, honestly, than coming in on just a regular airplane, coming in VFR. You come in a rip and arrival or from down south, and it's less complicated. You know, the biggest issue is when you start getting close, like over the water, you need to be low. You need to make sure your transponder's off. It all says it in the NOTAMs and the stuff coming in. You know, but basically you get down below the other traffic. You know, because you can land well on the other side of the lake if you needed to, because you are flying low. They have the GPS coordinates, you know, here for this base. So it's easy to program into your GPS. It's easy to find. The biggest issue is the winds and what winds you're going to find. And we all use the ATIS right off of, the main field.
Off of Whitman Field.
Off of Whitman Field, yeah.
Okay, so you're coming in. You get the ATIS at Whitman Field. Now you have to find a water runway. And as a seaplane pilot, of course, that's very different because land plane pilots, well, it's a piece of concrete. It's marked. We know where we're going to land. We also, we had a few ground loops this year. Guys in tailwheel airplanes coming in, and unfortunately, the wind was almost a direct crosswind on the north-south runway where they were landing. So, it was 45 degrees off, really. So, it would have been 45 degrees off
either
of
way.
Any runway. But as a seaplane pilot,
well, we have an advantage though, because we can look down on the water, and they're called wind streaks. They're generally perpendicular waves, but not all the time. But they actually leave lines in the water, and you want to land parallel to those lines. which makes it a little interesting. You know, if the bay is really narrow north to south and that's the direction the wind's coming from, you kind of got to decide, do I want to land in the bay where it's nice and quiet and calm but short, or do I want to land out on the big lake, you know, where it's a little rougher, you know, but you don't have to worry about, you know, slowing down fast, and you got plenty of time to let the energy bleed off before you try turning into the bay. And honestly, that's what I did. It was a little rough on Saturday when I came in, but I just took my time, you know, taxiing in, and I think there was two other people in front of me, and we just kind of motored in, and it was kind of fun because you kind of see some of the people from last year. Hey, I know that plane. I can't remember his name, but I know that plane. And of course, when you get to the dock, and he's like one dock over or two docks over, you come on over and shake his hand and talk about last year and what to expect this year. It's kind of neat when you see your old friends at the dock waiting for you, too.
That is neat. You know, Paul and I were talking in the very beginning of the segment that that the one thing that's nice about the seaplane base is not much changes, and other than creating forums for safety and things like that, it's something for seaplane pilots to look forward to every year that has nothing to do with anything else that's going on in their life. So,
well, I've only been volunteering for 2 years, and it was just so different. I mean, you come in here now I know everybody, and it's been a group of friends, and I think at the big base there's just so many more volunteers that you just can't learn everybody. But here, you know, they're here. We got a watermelon social tonight.
We'll be there.
All right. We had a live band, you know, last night. We just had a good time. And it's...
We should tell our listeners that we're taping on Saturday, so the Watermelon Social is actually Saturday night. They're hearing this on Sunday. So
yeah, okay.
They shouldn't come out to the Watermelon Social Sunday
on
night.
Sunday night. Oh, I'm sorry. But it just kind of like a family, the seaplane base family. And I'm looking around here, and I see so many people here that I know. The guys, Shane, you know, I've known him now for 3 years, and been coming to Oshkosh for 8 or 9 years, but then I found the secret spot here called the Seaplane Base. It's kind of fun.
Secret Cove. Well, Don, thank you for talking to us and giving us a pilot's perspective on the Seaplane Base. And Jay Monchi, we are on the fly. We're out at the Seaplane Base. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with some more exciting stuff.